Tonight, best defense. Spider-Man Putin threatens a nuclear confrontation with the West.
Greetings!
We go inside one of America's strongest deterrents, 60 stories down in the ocean.
As I'd say, it's the most powerful force in the world right now.
The USS Maine, where the men and women endure long deployments without the internet and the comforts of home.
So not a lot of salad and fresh fruit at the end of the deployment.
No, ma'am.
Finding ways to stay sane on the sea while doing their duty. Plus,
100,000 things to see.
Whole new world, barrier-breaking representation on Broadway. For the first time, the lead characters of Aladdin are being played by South Asian actors.
You can't quite put your finger on what it is that feels right about it. You just know.
And more visibility in Hollywood.
How American.
Led by the director of Crazy Rich Asian.
I told you where the Asian American director proud of me.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. When the war in Ukraine, which began nearly 3 months ago, doesn't seem to be going well for Russia, Vladimir Putin tries to change the subject, threaten the use of nuclear weapons against the West. ABC's chief global affairs correspondent, Martha Raddatz, takes us on board one of the U.S. Navy's most powerful weapons of deterrence.
This is America's most destructive warship, the USS Maine, patrolling the Pacific Ocean from underwater depths exceeding 60 stories.
So I'd say it's the most powerful force in the world right now.
ABC's drone cameras capturing this rare footage of the Maine briefly above the ocean surface. When submerged, it is the ultimate stealth machine.
We're approximately 2 miles from rendezvous spot.
We're just off the coast of Hawaii, getting ferried to join the 150 sailors on board. On the way, Vice Admiral Bill Houston, the commander of submarine forces, gets us up to speed on the ship's missiles.
With the 20 D5 missiles capable of carrying 12 reentry bodies, it represents the most powerful deterrent in the world to prevent world war.
You're saying reentry bodies, nuclear armed?
Ma'am, I can neither confirm nor deny the presence of nuclear weapons on this vessel.
The admiral is not allowed to say outright that this ship is nuclear armed. But make no mistake, inside each of these 20 huge orange tubes is a ballistic missile, each one topped with a dozen nuclear warheads. That's 240 nuclear bombs that can be launched 4,000 miles. That's quite the deterrent.
We are trying to prevent war with this ship right now, and we're trying to protect U.S., allied, and partner interests with this.
Ships like these have been used by the Navy for more than 60 years and house 70% of America's nuclear arsenal. But the goal is not to engage the enemy. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The Vice Admiral and the sailors inside the Maine are working to maintain peace.
We know when there's Russians underway at all times. We track that very, very closely.
Secure from battle station missile.
Missile forward, missile out, watch out.
Training is a constant, crucial drumbeat.
Now we're headed for the missile control center. That's where the missiles would actually be launched from.
You may have seen something similar on a movie screen.
13 away.
But our cameras were allowed a rare glimpse into a simulation of a launch sequence. The footage you're seeing, screened by the Navy for operational and security reasons.
Continent supervisor, stand by to mark.
First, sailors are ordered to their battle stations.
Radio Kodak.
We will receive a execution message on board our submarine via radio.
The message would be from the president ordering a launch.
Alert one, training execution message.
Man, battle station missile for training without guidance of launcher.
To ensure that the presidential message is real, in this simulation, two officers head down to the Missile Control Center, or MCC, to open a safe with the code they received from the message. Once the safe pops open, the message is confirmed.
Thank you, Captain.
Launch is authorized.
Each step of the way, two officers confirming every order. Meanwhile, downstairs in that missile control center, Lieutenant Christopher Holmes unlocks a separate safe that contains a simulated trigger device.
Fire order will be 4.
This device would launch each missile as ordered by the captain upstairs.
Permission to fire, may have combat weapons on.
The trigger is pulled.
That's locked open.
The exercise, a success.
4, away.
From start to finish, the process can take around half an hour.
We're good.
All these precautions in place to make sure missiles are only launched at authorized targets.
So every missile is pointed to a spot in the ocean, but if you ever had to actually launch them?
Upon orders from the president, we would retarget them and point them to the target specified.
Our missiles are 44 feet in height, 7 feet in diameter, and 130,000 pounds, and they will fly over 4,000 miles and be able to put a reentry body inside a baseball stadium. That's how accurate they are.
Is it harder for them to do this every day, knowing hopefully we never have to use it?
We take it very, very serious. We know if we make a mistake and the deterrence fails, it's costing hundreds, potentially millions of lives.
And now women seen playing a key part on submarine missions.
Thank you to everyone on board.
Women have only been allowed to serve on submarines since 2010 after the Navy lifted its longtime ban. Just a little more than a decade later, nearly half of the 15 officers aboard the USS Maine are women, although the enlisted numbers of females on this submarine are still very low. Chief Wendy Schutt is part of the navigation team.
Well, there are people who still don't know that women are on submarines.
Right.
Is that challenging?
It is, but we're simple. I think they try to walk on eggshells around. They just don't know how to react to us. But they're here to work their butt off and couldn't be prouder of the females we have on board right now.
Lieutenant Junior Grade Erin Chandler is one of the officers on the boat. You might remember seeing her during the missile simulation, where she, among other duties in the exercise, carried the key to the commander.
I really want to be an example for other female submariners, especially for enlisted, since a lot of boats that have female officers still don't have female enlisted. We are just as capable and just as deserving of a chance to serve.
An average patrol can last for months at a time, months where you're cut off from the outside world. Even though the sub bristles with the latest in technology, one thing missing, the internet. Opportunities for contact with friends and family are few and fleeting.
Right now, when we're 500 feet below the ocean, I have almost no way of getting in touch with anybody because I can't communicate through the water. So for the most part, I have to come up to periscope depth, put an antenna out of the water, and be able to copy information from the satellite.
Going to periscope depth, which is roughly 60 feet underwater, still poses a threat to the safety of the crew and the ability for the vessel to remain stealthy.
If somebody's looking for us or had an airplane or ship that was out there, they could potentially see me.
The sub doesn't even come above the surface to replenish supplies.
The chill box.
The kitchen staff telling us they head out to sea with 150 days worth of food just to be safe.
The oldest products get used first, and so we could maintain the freshness of the food. If we get fresh, we usually burn through that pretty fast.
So not a lot of salad and fresh fruit at the end of the deployment?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Most of the crew lives by hot sauce for when the fresh stock slowly dries up. But aside from being fueled by an impressive stash of sriracha and Tabasco, they are also fueled by a deep sense of camaraderie.
And you're on day, I think, 48, 49?
It's been a long one.
And what's that like when you're so long submerged?
It's tough, but we get some opportunities to have fun. We do different activities all the time as a family.
During their downtime, playing cribbage, a traditional game submariners have played since World War II, squeezing into tight sleeping quarters, housing 9 crew members to a bunk. Even among the missile tubes, a lone sailor finding an unlikely moment to play the violin he takes with him on every mission, telling us the acoustics are best aboard a ship.
I would say, yeah, this is where we're more comfortable. It's a pilot likes to be in the air, we like to be under the sea.
That teamwork and competency more important now than ever before.
8-0.
With Russia constantly teasing the possibility of nuclear war with the West as its war with Ukraine rages on.
We are training constantly. We're at the highest state of readiness, but we are not changing our day-to-day posture at all. And so we are always ready for any eventuality. 365, 24/7.
Our thanks to Martha. And you can see more of Martha's rare access inside the sub and exclusive reporting on America's nuclear defense this Sunday on This Week. Up next, the barrier-breaking moments for Asian Americans from Broadway to Hollywood.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
For years, Asian Americans have been underrepresented in the entertainment world. Now that's slowly changing. ABC's Ashin Singh sits down with those behind the scenes and on the stage who are helping to pave the way.
A whole new world.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
100,000 things to see.
It's Jasmine and Aladdin like you've never seen them before. Opening the eyes of Broadway to a whole new world. Though this production is based in a fictional land inspired by the Middle East and South Asia, the actors who have played the leads have never been from those regions. Now, for the first time, the two lovers are played by two South Asian actors, just how the original Disney movie intended.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
What are some ways that you guys have made this iteration of Aladdin unequivocally brown?
Well, I've heard from many of my dancer friends say that they think that I'm leading the Bollywood section at the end.
Just by taking up the space, even if you can't quite put your finger on what it is that feels right about it, you know. You just know.
Rising Broadway stars Shobha Narayan and Michael Malliakel breaking barriers in theater. Their accomplishment, one of the many shared by the Asian American community. Now seeing a rise in representation on stage and on screen. Disney is the parent company of ABC News.
Were you guys surprised it took this long?
For both of us, this movie and the source material has been like a foundational part of our childhoods. When these auditions came to us for the Broadway show, it was like such an exciting moment to be like, you know what, I feel ready and excited to put my stamp and bring my lived experience and my culture onto that stage.
When Disney introduced Princess Jasmine into the roster of Disney princesses, it felt like a godsend for so many brown girls around the globe who felt just a struggle to relate to any character on screen. And so to be stepping into this role has been really meaningful.
Castings like theirs are ushering in a new era in representation. For decades, the Asian American community has endured ridicule.
I can't accept your way of life.
And objectification in the entertainment industry. From the world of Susie Wong.
Take clothes off?
No, I've never tried nudes.
Good time to try.
To Austin Powers in Goldmember. Now, new faces are changing what it means to have a voice and space in more nuanced productions. It's a reality that at times seemed more like a distant dream.
Did childhood John ever think that this would be kind of imaginable?
Well, childhood John was very naive. And of course, I thought, you know, I'm reading books about Walt Disney and Steven Spielberg. I think, oh, yeah, that's very attainable. Look, it's right here in the book. But my parents would always remind me, like, it's hard work.
You may not know John M. Chu's face, but you almost certainly know his work. He's becoming a dominating force in Hollywood, directing the 2018 box office hit, Crazy Rich Asians.
Mom.
A turning point for American cinema.
Pursuing one's passion. How American.
Becoming the first film to feature a predominantly all-Asian cast since The Joy Luck Club.
I want to understand my mother. I really try.
Which debuted nearly 30 years ago.
Did any part of you fear that America might not be ready, even if you were?
100% I didn't think people were ready for that movie. I that's why I told my team that I wasn't gonna make them any money. But at that point, it didn't matter. Let's make something that exists so that it exists.
Before the blockbuster romantic comedy, Chu, the son of Chinese and Taiwanese immigrants, learned the lesson of hard work and perseverance at a young age through his parents, who still own a restaurant in Los Altos, California. Those formative years guiding Chu in his career. So I hear no screams and I shed no tear. Which started with directing films like G.I. Joe Retaliation.
If you think you've seen it all, take another look.
And Now You See Me Too.
When you're shooting like Now You See Me Too, did part of you want to sort of just be considered a director and not an Asian director?
Yeah, that was definitely when I first got into the business. I did not want to be identified as an Asian director because then you only get certain projects. I didn't realize how poisonous that was, not just to the world, but to me personally of my own identity. And you know, I was young, I was 27, 28 years old. And you also listen to the adults in the room who are saying they wouldn't understand an Asian person falling in love with another Asian person. That becomes an Asian movie.
Wow.
It was only when Chu poured all his passion into creating Crazy Rich Asians that he found freedom.
As a director who had, at some points in his life, shied away from that Asian identity, was there a catharsis in making this movie and being around this cast?
Yeah, I think the movie healed me. I think the movie showed me light that I never understood. And it wasn't the movie, it wasn't like the script, it was the actors and the crew that were around us. Because everyone there had baggage.
This shared experience, a motivating factor for many in the Asian American community to keep pushing forward.
Mrs. Wang.
Mrs. Wang, are you with us?
Good. So more doors could be open for a film. Like Everything Everywhere All at Once. This new and critically acclaimed film features a majority Asian cast, including Hollywood legend Michelle Yeoh.
There is no way I am the Evelyn you are looking for.
Suddenly, someone sees and is giving me the opportunity to showcase what I've learned over the years, to be able to do comedy, physical comedy, which is very different from doing martial arts.
Right.
Yeah. Because in my previous movies, I've always been the mentor, you know, the teacher, very elegant.
You said you used to shy away from that title of Asian American director.
Yeah.
Do you wear it proudly now?
I totally wear the Asian American director proudly. I also think we forced the industry to think of it more broadly too. I think when you rush the door and you knock it down, no one can stop the momentum. Yeah, I have a flag. I'm like, let's go. Let's keep going. For you.
Waving a flag and passing it onward, wherever that stage may be.
And even though you guys are the first South Asian Aladdin and Jasmine, I've got to imagine you guys won't be the last.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Our thanks to Ashin. And And finally tonight, one pint-sized girl starting to celebrate the Queen's Platinum Jubilee a couple of weeks early. Meet 3-year-old Isla Bates.
Because I have to wait.
Dressed like a royal, complete with a pearl necklace, sensible heels, and some gray locks.
I want to be the real queen.
Isla has been visiting nursing homes in Northwest England and planting trees in honor of the queen. And the child shall lead the way. That's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here, same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially 4 trials facing former President Trump as he makes his 3rd bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.